that every experience he gives to me is an expression of the good news of the kingdom. When he causes me to suffer, just like Jesus, is to remind me of the reality that the majority of his children in the world are living at this present time. When he causes my hand to prosper, is to remind me that he is the Lord that pulls and comforts and consoles. And he says to his people, even though you are persecuted, blessed are you. Though men may speak evil, blessed are you. None of these things on their own appear to be blessed. But these are the realities of the calling that Jesus has called you and I to. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you grant to us understanding again. Give to us our daily bread today. You are the bread of life. Father, that thing that Yale, Harvard, Oxford cannot give to man, but you, which you give to the poorest, the most unlearned people on earth, which is the knowledge of your kingdom to the heart that will humble itself before you. That is what we want, Father. Please give it to us that we may taste Jesus, that we may drink very deeply into his wisdom. Father, that we may not be unduly excited or unduly depressed, but in all things, we may be patient in spirit, waiting for the consummation of hope, which is at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. We live in very dangerous times. And I think in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the apostle warned us that we should beware of these times. Say they'll come. Okay, kids, you can go to your... I mean, you can hear this as well if you want to. Right. We live in times when we cannot afford to get too high or too low because our adversary, the devil, is going about like a roaring lion, and this used to be a Bible quotation. But if you are going to be very honest with me, with yourself, you see, it's no longer a quotation. It's a prophecy that we're seeing fulfilled. We're seeing iniquity in the world, iniquity even among Christians. We're seeing Christians living their own lives, Christians worshiping after their own understanding. The Bible says, when Paul told us in the last days, perilous times will come, men will become lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's what we have. We must continue to remind ourselves what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ taught us about how not to be weary, how to be steadfast, how to receive the kingdom like a little child. And you know, weeks ago, we began to say, to reteach ourselves one thing that used to be very fundamental in our faith. It used to be the number one sermon for Christians. What is it? You must be born again. Just that plain statement. You must be born. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. By the power of God, you must be able to say that I've turned a new creature, not because I decided to follow Jesus, but because Jesus found me. For who can really decide to go into King Charles and invite himself into the Buckingham Palace right now? I mean, if you can't do that, how can you decide to go to the kingdom of God, but for the grace of God? And we began to teach ourselves again that Christianity is different from religion. We began to peel the onions, the layers of the onions, to see what the author of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his apostles whom he sent to us, said about being born again. And we're highlighting a few of the characteristics of the new life in Jesus. Last week, we highlighted 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And I used to really joke a lot about this in Bible studies that I hold with brethren. That when I was in the world, This was one of the, before I even became born again, Romans 3:23. Who knows what Romans 3:23 says? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You could not grow up in the kind of environment that we grew up in, and you, whether you are born again or not, smoker, drinker, drunkard, adulterer, you will know Romans 3:23 because Christians were busy repeating it on the street. Yes, the second one, Romans 6:23. What does it say? When was the last time you told your colleague that? Well, many times busy trying to find a fanciful way of telling people that they are lost. Just a little tweak. Maybe if we just come to church. But it used to be that the Lord, everywhere he went, he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And what reward did he get for that? He was hung on the cross. But guess what? You and I are his reward. And the third verse that I learned was what we talked about last week. What was, I learned it before I was a believer. They told me this many times. I will stand by the street corner with my cigarette, and I could bet you some lady with long skirt, is the one down is skirt or blouse? Which one is? The one is blouse. And yeah, the two, skirt and blouse, you always knew them. Those days you, unless those were days of, it was, I knew them. And some guy, his button, now it's kind of, you know, sharp to have your button here. It used to be a sign of SUism. Right. They will come and they will say this verse because you say you must be, they'll say, are you? Yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church. The wages of sin is there. The gift of God is eternal life. And of course, at that point, the cigarette went out. Right. But you're still a little bit chatty. But the one that always silenced me. What? Which verse? We talked about it last week. And I want us to remember it so that we may know what is that God is saying to our generation. There's a lot of things on the news that this generation will want you to hear. They will want you to be totally, totally occupied with the news of the war on Ukraine, in Ukraine, which is horrible. The one in Sudan. Totally horrible. A lot of things. Hunger, the statistics. But that news that can kill the soul, the state of our soul, on that day when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and we know it will, and it's been deliberately delayed because of the terrible consequence of that day. The word that we must consider, all the words we must consider, so that on that day will not be just one of the many that are called, but the what? Few that are chosen. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our words. Few. I don't like the word few. It's like you say, I attended an interview. There are 500 applicants and only a few will be chosen. If you say 50%, I don't think everybody will call 50% few, right? I don't think you will call 40% few. Will you call 40% of a sample size few? You may call it not the majority, Abby, the minority. How about 30%? I think when you say 30%, you say my odds are still good at that point, right? Yeah. Right? At 30%, you say my odds are quite good. Will you call 20% few? One out of every five? No, most of you is still, I think I still have a pretty good, I think I'm good. I still have a pretty good chance. At 20%, I think so. I think you might be a little, eh? No. Off of an application. 10%, now you are getting into the few. Top 10%, the magna cum laudes, the summa is the one before magna. Which one is more magnificent, the magma or the summa? The summa. Okay, so the 10% is still at the magna cum laude. I think you might still say at the magna cum laude is still, I mean, I looked at Bolanle's graduation list in Texas. There are quite a few magmas, quite a number of magmas. The ones that are few, the ones with 3 stars. What population of a graduating class goes summa? Depends on the program. Like what percentage? If you're lucky. If you're lucky, yeah. But Shegun will know. Right. You are summa, right? Yeah. You are summa. How many folks there were summas? Hey! Rapita summa. May we be summa when the trumpet sounds. I have a feeling that the Lord has summa in mind when he gave that advice. In New Covenant Church, we are focused on summas. We want to be ready. We do not want to have any disqualifier. And that passage that always got me was the one we talked about last week. 1 John 2:15. Who was present last Sunday? Who? Apart from the usual suspects. Love not, nor for if any man, then what are the things in the world? One, the lust of the eyes. What does that mean? I know we didn't treat it last Sunday, but before, we're going to close soon. Well, I always say it. Because I see some people sleeping all the time. So I decided, let's cut down the length. Better a 20-minute sermon with everybody awake than a 45-minute sermon. And I don't blame you. I mean, when Brother Bumi is preaching, me too, at times by the 40th minute, I'm struggling. I'm just trying to remain awake so that I won't look impolite. So I'm not going to lie. It's the truth, right? It's just long to sit down, you know, and listen to this stuff. But remember, they used to listen to 2-3 hour sermons in the time of the Wesleys without mic, for that matter. So we're a little spoiled. But anyway, these are our times. What's the lust of the eye? Oh, I don't like big words. Let's break it down. But that's still a big word. Give me a concrete example. What is the elder John telling us not to love when he said the things of the world are the lust of the eye? Give me something that relates to Columbia Mall, to Anne Arundel Mall, where I spent quite some time yesterday shopping for this guy. Huh? What? What was that place in Dubai? Gozu. Zoo. Yeah, they call it Zoo. Zook, thank you. Sister Kemi, I can see your ears. Buki is quiet, she's convicted. The Lord does not speak these things to condemn us. He speaks it so that of all the people in the world, we will be prepared. A father teaches the child what the expectations are so that they'll be ready. It's like a cheat sheet. or judgment. Only obedient children will listen. Those things that entice us, Jesus is saying, do not love them. The bling blings, the lust of the eye. He said, the Gentiles love these things. Look, but for the grace of God, we're no different. He said, look, configure your lives differently. And for the lack of the attention to these details, the world no longer sees the difference between the church and them. In fact, without knowing it, we are promoting the same set of lusts in the church. The lust of the eye. I hear that in many congregations in some parts of the world, you couldn't even leave your bag and go forward to give an offering. I hear that in many congregations, even ushers will carry the offering and dip their hands in it. Jesus is telling us his children who are born again, because today's message is about abiding in Jesus. For those of us that are born again, to abide in him. And what does it mean? It's in the book of John chapter 15. Let's go to John chapter 15. But before we go there, let's break this down. Jesus does not want us to be about bling bling. Don't let your interest be in the eye. Don't let it be. Don't let people want to envy you for the things you're wearing. Let them envy you for the character. Put your effort into the ornaments of a great spirit. That's what tells a believer apart. Put more focus on who is in you, who is wearing you, than who you are wearing. It's these days that we begin to wear people. We wear people. But Jesus is wearing us. He said, put on Christ. I wish every pastor would sit down with every member and say, listen, it's not about your job, my dear. The kingdom of God is full of carpenters, and janitors. It doesn't matter where you work, who you work. Before Jesus, you are a prince. It doesn't matter what road he has chosen for you to get to the kingdom. You are just fortunate. Because when it's said and done, the whole world, you'll be like a royal diadem in the kingdom of your Father. This is what Jesus came to tell us. The lust of the eye, Sister Kemi, the second is the pride of life, right? Of the flesh. The third one is the pride of life. What does the lust of the flesh mean? This is a commandment to you and I, so that we may know how to begin to prepare for Jesus. It is okay to sing. It is okay to lift your hands up. It is okay to bear the Christian name. These are the things that really shows whether you are worshiping God or not. They are not the outward things. What's the condition of your soul as we speak this morning? You see, men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The lust of the flesh, what is this? Fornication is a lust of the flesh, yes. Gluttony, adultery, right? Pornography, the lust of the flesh. How about those habits that have held you captive? The lust of the flesh. The love of entertainment above prayers. The lust of the flesh. Partying, pub. These are things of the world. But you know, it's as if there's no more difference between the church and the world. The reverend is no longer, what's the Oyibo word? Reverend. Is it a T? Reverend, reverent. Okay. Reverential. I always imagine, at times I shake my head. When we put elaborate Christian programs together, I always say to myself, two people interest me. That what would Jesus say if he was sitting here? And what would Paul say if he was sitting here? Because they always seem to look beyond the external And they go into the motive of why you are doing what you are doing. I mean, maybe because the New Testament is filled with their words. So we know more about their thoughts than anyone else. If we were aligning, designing a Christian walk after what Jesus says, what will our lives be like? That's our job as we wait for Jesus to come. The lust of the flesh, the things the flesh wants. We are all with it. Christian singing Burna Boy. Let's be real. It's unbecoming. Let's be real. Christians on red carpets, worldly red carpet. Anyway, that's the third one. Let's stop at the lust of the flesh because there's plenty. Some people will give their souls in exchange for food. The lust of the flesh. It's as if there are no rules again. Spirituality is subjective. Holiness is subjective. We have tainted counsel with words without wisdom. But the Bible is clear. Love not the world, the lust of the flesh. Listen, if we don't surface these impediments right now, it's going to surface on judgment, at the judgment throne, and it will be too late, for it's been given unto man once to do what? And after that is what? These are serious things. We cannot ignore anything that Jesus tells us. Not that we have power in over. In fact, our being silent on these things, it is the trick of Satan to normalize the abnormal in the congregation of the saints. And we shouldn't allow it. Our parents, our forefathers, the saints that went before us did not allow it. He said, remember the traditions that you got from your father. This was not our tradition as Christians. We were the ones that told truth one to another. The Lord Jesus said, behold, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill. You shine your light, though they may speak evil of you. Let them see the consistency of your faith, your good works, and then they will glorify your Father. Be you not conformed to the world, but by be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means it's a process, a transformative process, day by day, growing in conformity to the image of Jesus, transformed in the glory of the Lord from glory unto glory as by the Spirit of the living God. This is their spirit. This is what is called perfection, by the way. Christian perfection is the state of mind that is aspiring to please the Lord. That's what Christian perception is. It is unbecoming. You bear a precious name, people. You have an incorruptible seed. You've signed up for the army of God. It is unbecoming. I don't care how normalized it is. It is unbecoming. The lust of the flesh. We embarrass the name of Jesus. He said, because of you, my name is evil spoken of among the Gentiles. I want to boast with you. But you are not allowing me to boast. You are not rendering your vessels, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. You are not proving that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But and that's our task. Proverbs 14:14 says what? So I want you to open to it. Because I wanted to touch quickly on the issue of backsliding. You see, we don't talk about these things anymore, do we? When was the last time you heard about backsliding? Sister Kemi, when you were growing up, how many times did you hear about backsliding? Did you pray about backsliding? We did. I wasn't, when she was, she's been a saint for, I don't know, maybe since she was a baby. I got in late. I got in very late. And one of the most dreadful things when I got in was people warning me about, if they didn't see you for one Bible study, they were afraid you were backsliding. So I said, well, the backsliding I knew was something like this when we were in the world, right? That was all the backsliding I knew. It was when I joined Christianity that I knew there was another meaning to backsliding. That means the things you used to hallow in Jesus that you no longer do, that Satan has persuaded you that no longer matters. But it still matters, people. That's how they still tell us apart. That's how we do God proud. It's by the choices we make. There's no Christianity without a choice that costs. Jesus made a choice. Jesus was the most magnificent. Jesus our Lord. Oh my God, please take a moment to think about our Savior. I think someone, was it, it was the Lord actually. The Lord talking about himself. And oh, who can measure to the wisdom of the King of Glory? Oh, how wonderfully wise our Lord Jesus is. Those of us that love to read, apart from the revelationary value of reading scripture, there's the literary value. And I keep saying, if the Bible writers were to be, if they were to be measured in the light of current literary standards, all of them will win the Pulitzer, everything ahead of all of these people that have been given the. Look at the Psalms of David. I digress. Let me go back to what Jesus has sent me to say. Jesus said, he said, what have you come out to see? A reed? What have you come out to see? And he was saying this, if I remember the context, that's when John the Baptist sent to him to find out who he was. He was saying it to say, look at me. I am exactly opposite what you think. Here I am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I preside over the affairs of the heaven and the earth. You looked to Mayo Clinic, the pediatric department, or whatever they call them, for my back, but I was born in a manger. Why are you always looking in the wrong place for Jesus? You hope to see a warrior riding like a king, commanding troops, or you hope to see an Elijah or a Jeremiah. And I come like one of you, humble, lowly, on a donkey, the foal of an ass. I've seen it. I've been it. I made you all. You call me master, so am I. But if I, your master, will wash your feet, how much more you? Jesus is our example in everything. Who is your Christian example? The way you find yourself constructing your Christian life, is Jesus the example? Who do you believe? Have you gone to believe some New Age ministers? Paul said to the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians. Did we not set forth the Lord Jesus as being crucified before you? Have you started in faith and you will finish in this? And he was saying, listen, follow me as I follow Jesus. Remember how the traditions that our Father passed to us is the same today as it was before. And the pride of life was the third one. I think I'm just almost repeating last week's sermon. Maybe that's where we'll stop. But yeah, let's repeat it. Let's repeat it so that we know these things are important. I say unto you again, these words are not to condemn us. He that has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to his. These are the words of today. The world is corrupt. Saints are going to hell. Ministers are preaching their own predilections. We are no longer preaching the kingdom of God. We are preaching men of God. We are promoting ourselves. We are setting ourselves upon the throne of God. The things that Paul would not do. But save yourself from this unto us generation. What is the pride of life? Glory, thank you. How many do you have, by the way? Hey, she just gloried in it again. Amazing how many degrees we have in this church. You need to take about two and distribute it. Glorying in the things of men. Listen, that does not apply to God. All glories remain outside. You must humble yourself like a little child. Because the Messiah himself did what? Humbled himself as a child. So unless you humble yourself and you become like a child, you will not what? See the kingdom of God. Unless you receive the kingdom as a what? As a child. The word of God has not changed. The pride of life, all of us have it. And we must mortify it because God has no use for it. The pride of life. Ego. There's no place in the new birth for ego. I was studying something this week. Do you know that it's even the pride of life referring to people as pastor, this reverend, this? Jesus expressly said, don't do it. He said, don't use titles. He said, you're all brothers. But we've normalized it and we think it's okay. But you know what's happening? Great men did it for the right intention. What has happened today? Reverends and pastors have set themselves up as idols. Now they have congregations. They have men. I don't know how a human being has members. Did anybody die except for Jesus? At least according to the teaching of Paul. Paul refused it. Peter, if I look at me, these are old saints. I'm just Lauru Komo Olorin. You know what that means? The younger ones. I'm just calling them back. Even our Lord Jesus. How many times have I called him Jesus? I didn't say, oh. And boy, if they dare call some of us and they don't add our title, Bishop this, we get angry. It's happening. It's maybe not in this church, but it's happening. The pride of life. If you want to be set apart from others, no, Jesus wanted everybody to come to him. Now, as we close. As we go home and reflect, let's not receive the general teachings of Jesus. Let's receive the specific teachings so that we'll be chastised and we'll be ready. For what's the point of Sunday, of being born again, if we're not ready? Let's be one of the few. You see, when you start doing that, I think it was Sister Shade or who was during our house fellowship. Say, I wonder why we're not getting persecuted. Was it you, Sister Shade? I don't want to lie. It was you, yeah, always you. The troublesome questions, always Sister Shade in that L'Oreal House Fellowship. And then she'll keep her for 2 weeks. Yeah, maybe the reason we're no longer getting persecuted is because we're no longer living the standard that Jesus wants. What I wonder is how the Lord, in everything I say or do or speak, even in my behaviors and my misbehaviors, my main concern is how does Jesus feel about this? I ask myself that several times. When I answer someone, I say, okay, but how does Jesus feel? If it does not, it's as simple. If it's not right by the Lord, he said, you are dead and your life is hidden. It is no longer I that what? We all live like it's still us, like we own ourselves. But it is not. Do you know that you are dead and alive in Christ? You know, you have no right. I was speaking to a lady yesterday, and she said, I don't think the Lord has a right. I said, stop there. Repeat what you just said in your head to yourself on that normal. And she was very embittered about something. And she said, yeah, wow. I'm sorry. Do you know you're going to inherit the kingdom of God? Do you know what the kingdom of God means? It's not Malibu. If you're going to inherit Orlando, Disney World alone, that's fantastic. What you're inheriting is more than Orlando. Do you know the world calls you poor? Do you know what the Bible calls you? A royal priesthood, a peculiar person, a holy nation. Called forth to do what? There are not many like you. We are summa cum laureate. Listen, listen, it's your choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to rock in Hollywood or rock with Jesus? Do you want to rock with Jesus or rock with the world? Do you want to join? Do you know what it means when you say the seraphs are singing? You think Beyonce can speak, can sing? Do you know what Jesus is preparing for? Do you know what the morning mass in heaven is like? Have you ever heard? And that is even an earth, earthly. I don't even think it's measurable. They said it's the closest thing. The Hosanna, whatever. Handel's Messiah. I understood that the king had it, and which is quite odd. Normally the king will remain standing. But he was so awed that in his majesty, he stood up. And something told me that's just a glimpse of the morning mass in heaven, which we will hear every day for eternity. You want to wear someone? Do you know what it means to be dressed in righteousness, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what God has called you to? I think Paul said it, that with the eye of understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling, the exceeding greatness of his riches towards those of us. Can we remind one another? Are you looking at Lazarus's shoes? They were looking at Lazarus's clothes. They did not know they were looking at a joint hair with Jesus Christ. For those of you that are born again, this is God's promise to us. Shall we then eat at the table of the Lord and eat at the table of the world also? I want you all to go home and determine to follow Jesus. Do not cast away this, your first confidence. Old things are good. They've persuaded modern Christians that old things are bad. Not true. Not true. If you even look, I know some people disagree with me. I prefer the old songs because I can hear the words they're saying. My wife was saying that it's amazing that when she got born again, she knew some Bible passages from songs rather than having seen them in the Bible. But now, I don't even know what you people are singing anymore. The beat, the melody has overcome the message. We don't even know. The metallic, I don't even know what they call it. But when I was born again, when integrity sings for you, you will know you've had a sermon. I lie, Brother Bumi, Brother Shegu. I lie? Eh? I didn't lie. I've said a lot. Let's go with justice. Many are called, but few are chosen. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. I pray you please convict us. You have warned us that it's not an easy road, there are choices. We ask for the strength of the Spirit to make these choices. Help us to believe. Help us not to have a general faith. Help us to have a faith that is focused, purposeful, that looks to the coming of Jesus. Order the rest of the world and the church hardly ever believes anymore, Lord. Give us the grace to hold on to the old things, Lord, to the teachings of our Lord and his apostles. He said we should not turn to the left or to the right. Give us the grace like a flint to keep our focus and gaze ahead. In New Covenant Church, I pray that the word of instruction will not fall to the ground. I pray we will not despise the voice of the Spirit as the Jews, many of them, despise the voice of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.